Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Samach Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a mark the Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the mark the Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the bottom line of Daf Samach Aleph Omid Beis. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah, HaTalmidim Yoitzin LeTalmud V'chulei. At this point in the Mishnah, we were dealing with the amount of time a husband may be absent from his wife, even though it is going to be at the expense of marital relations, one of the fundamental obligations that a husband has to his wife in marriage. So the Mishnah had mentioned that the Talmidim may be absent. Talmidim are those who study Torah, may be absent from their wives, even without express permission. The Mishnah mentioned, just that you can see in the middle of the wide lines above, they are Yoitzin LeTalmud Torah Shelo Birshus Shloishim Yom. They can leave their wives even without specific permission for up till 30 days. The Gemara now asks Birshus Kamo, and if they would receive permission, how much can they, for how long can they be absent? So the Gemara answers, if they get permission, kama deboi, as much as they should want, whatever permission, whatever, if the wife says you can be away for 10 years, so you can be away for 10 years. So the Gemara clarifies that really the question is a little deeper than that, and we turn to the top of Samach Beis Omid Aleph, Urcha Demilsa Kama. And we look at Rashi at the top, Urcha de Milsa, Derech Eretz. What's the proper way? Shelo Yisal of Chet, so that there should be no ill feelings, no sinful reaction. Vafilu hu yachol lefatoisa shetitein leirushus, even if he's capable of convincing her, of seducing her into giving him rishus, we're asking about what's the proper way. The Tosfos at the top raises an interesting issue. Let's look at it together. Just part of the Tosfos. Ela urcha de milsa kama pirush bekutris. Rashi explains shelo yisal of chet, that she shouldn't have any ill feelings toward him, even if she grants approval. But if it's through seductive methods, she'll end up harboring an ill feeling toward him. Vafilu hu yachol lefatos, even if he can convince her for a lengthy lengthy absence, what is the proper way? V'im tomar, you might ask, v'hech yotzer Rabbi Kiva v'chano de lekamon. Later, the Gemara features some stories that are well known, Rabbi Kiva's absence from his wife for a total of 24 years, and other rabbis that we'll see that were absent for many years. How can you explain that? They were pious individuals, certainly would not have engaged in a lifestyle that would engender her ill feelings. V'yesh lomar, so Tosfos answers the Hossam, in all of those stories below Pitui, hayu smechus shebaleim hochel lumud Torah v'yos tamidi chachamim. All of those women were happy. They were satisfied. On their own, they allowed their husbands to absent themselves, even without being seduced into it. And even more, to the contrary, the women married those particular husbands in order for them to be away for lengthy periods of time, in order to learn Torah. It's the woman's desire and dream for her husband to be a Torah, a genuine Torah scholar. And to accomplish that in the ultimate way, these lengthy absences were necessary. So now we turn to the Gemara. We have a structural note on the side, the Mivneh. A diamond appears. And the diamond is here to highlight two Machloikis Rav Rabbi Yochanan. Two controversies that they have. One is dealing with the immediate issue of Urcha de Milsa Kama, and the second is how to darshan a posuk. And as far as why the Gemara is set up this way, so Rashi already, he'll make the point that since Rav and Rabbi Yochanan argue, now another argument of them is featured. The Gemara. Omar Rav, Chodesh, Kan v'Chodesh Babayis. The Urcha de Milsa approaches that the husband would be a month home and a month away. Kan meaning in the yeshiva, studying Torah, and a month babayis in the house. Shenemar, and the basis for this is a posuk that deals with king's workers. L'chol dvar ha-machlikais ha-bo v'yoytzis chodesh b'chodesh l'chol chodshei hashana. 1 month at home and 1 month away. So that there's precedent for husbands being away for on alternate months. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Chodesh Kan u'shnai b'beiso. Rabbi Yochanan says, 1 month in yeshiva and 2 months at home. Shenemar, and here's a pasuk that's cited from the event of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says, Chodesh yu b'levonoin, shnayim chodoshim b'beiso. 1 month in Levanon. Levanon was an area from which there were building supplies that were from which building supplies were procured for the construction of the temple, and hence 1 month there and 2 months at home. V'Rav Nami Maitai Malomar Me'ahi. Rav, who said alternating months, why didn't he cite the source that Rabbi Yochanan brought? Om Shaini Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that is different. There's enough manpower to enable the men to be 2 months home. The Efshur Ayyadei Acherim, there it was possible to be constructed by others, so that there was an ample workforce, so that you can't use that as a precedent for the issue of Torah learning. Rabbi Yochanan Maitaim Elomar Lo Omar Me'ahi, and Rabbi Yochanan who cited the Beis HaMikdash, why did he not cite Rav's source? Answer, Shaini Hosam, the Is Le Harvocha. That case is different. The people who were sent on the king's missions to work for the king, they also profited significant profits. And because of that, so the wives were willing to have their husbands absent in effect half a year, and 1 month, 1 month home, 1 month away, in an alternating fashion. So that enabled the women to have a lot of sufficient or a significant income for food and for jewelry. But learning Torah, Rashi says, that's the man's mitzvah. So she feels less less benefit from it. Of course, on a spiritual level, women profit greatly from the fact that they enable their husbands, allow their husbands to go and learn and grow in Torah learning, but on an immediate physical level, they don't sense that. So the Rabbi Yochanan feels you can't cite the case that Rav did of the Avodas HaMelech, where the workers profited so much, as a precedent for Torah learning. Omar Rav, Anocho Shiveres Chatzi Gufo Shel Adam. A person who releases sighs of anguish breaks half of a body. Shenemar Vato Ben Adam Heonach B'Shivron Mosnayim Uvmiruz Teonach. The word Heonach or Teonach Anocho. It's a grunt or a sigh of consternation or of desperation, that is not good. It breaks half of a person. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Af Kol Gufo Shel Adam. Rabbi Yochanan has a more dismal approach to that and says it breaks his entire body. Shenemar, Voyo Ki Yomri Alecho Al Mo'ata Ne'enach And it will be that when you're asked, what are you grunting about? Ve'amarta el shmua kibo v'nomes kol lev v'rofu kol yodayim v'chiyaso kol ruach v'chol birkayim te'lach namayim. And you will respond because of the evil tidings that caused the melting of all the hearts and the weakening of all the arms and the weakening of all the knees. What this pasuk then shows, and you can see with our markings, the ne'enach, anocha, this phenomenon of grunting or sighing out of desperation results in the melting of the entire person. For Yochanan Ami Oksib B'Shivrin Masayim, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is going, what does he do with the pasuk that spoke about the Masnayim? We didn't mention before, but the Masnayim is a reference to the midsection, that only half the body is broken by these sighs. So what does Rabbi Yochanan say about that when he says the whole body is broken? So Rabbi Yochanan answers that pasuk is the chimaschala when the breaking takes place, the shiviras haguf, it's the chimaschala when it starts, mimoschayim mas, it starts from the midsection. It starts and spreads out. For Rav Nami Hoksiva Nomes Kole Varofu Kol Yodayim So Kol Ruach. Well, what does Rav say about that pasuk? The pasuk there, Yochanan cited, indicating that the entire person is broken. So the Gemara answers, "Shiny Shmuel deBeis Hamikdash deTakifa Tuva." The pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan cited, in which the evil tidings were referred to, those evil tidings were a function or were a description of the breaking, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So when the Novi Yecheskel spoke, that was contemporary prophecy with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And that was a very intense tragedy. And as a result of that, in fact, even Rav would agree, that could break the sigh of consternation upon hearing that could destroy or weaken an entire person. And now we have a little story. Hahu Yisrael vovikachovim tahavu kaazli buurcha bahadi adodi. There was an incident where a Jew and an idol worshipper were walking along on the road. Lo imtzi oivit kachovim lizgui bahadi Yisrael, and the idol worshipper, apparently he wanted to walk alongside the Jew, but he couldn't keep up with him. Adkirei churban beis hamikdash. So the Gentile, the idol worshipper, said to the Jew, "You remember your temple destruction?" Nogid v'isnach. So the Jew let out a grunt. V'afilu hachi lo imtzi oivit kachovim lizgui bahadi. Even with that attempt to weaken the Jew, the Jew was able to maintain his rapid pace, and the idol worshipper could not catch up with him. Omar lei. So the idol worshipper asks, "Lavam risu? Don't you say?" That grunts and sighs break half a body. So I mentioned something that was that, and you actually let out a grunt, and you kept your rapid pace. Where's the common saying that you people have of half the body being broken? Amarle. So the Jew answered, "Hani mili milsuchadeti." The idea of a grunt as a reaction that could cause a person to be broken, that's when it's a reaction to something new. Chadati means new news. Aval ha deshonan ba lo. But that which we're accustomed to already, this was many years after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and every year we observe Tisha B'Av, which commemorates the destruction of the Holy Temple, so we're used to it. The Amri Inshi, there's a common saying, de malfi tichli lo boasa. And here we'll go immediately to Rashi to appreciate this. The Maflu Tichli Lobasa, Rashi across from here says, Isha Alimoides Shaka Banel Lukavram. Very sad description, but it describes a woman who regularly loses her children. Their children, infants, they die in infancy. She's accustomed to burying her children. Eino Tameo Umifachedes Bemois Echot Mam Shikvar Limoides. When eventually, after burying several children and another one dies, it doesn't cause the same degree of grief as it would in a case of a woman who's never experienced that tragedy. So we're accustomed to this tragedy, and hence it doesn't have the effect that you wanted it to have, the sigh upon recounting the destruction of the temple. Ha-tayolin b'chol yom. The Mishnah mentioned that tayolin, we didn't explain what they were, who they were, but they're expected to provide their marital relations to their wives every day. My tayolin. What do you mean by them? And as you can see in the markings, we have triangles, and on the side, under the Nosei Mivne heading, a triangle is featured. Gimel Pirushim. Three explanations. Mihem ha-tayolim shechayavim ba'oino b'chol yom. Who are these tayolin of whom it's expected that they provide intimacy for their wives every day? The Gemara continues. Omar, Rava b'nei Pirki. We immediately look at Rashi. B'nei Pirki, or across from here more or less, a line or two down. Rashi says, Talmidim sharav motzulem b'iran v'shonim pirkom v'lonim b'veisam. These are Torah students whose Torah teacher is in their own town. In other words, where the students live, and they learn their portion from the rabbi, and they go home to sleep. So they're by their wives every night. Omar le Abaye. Abaye raises a question. You'll notice the question is a five-line question. Abaye says, you're describing the B'nai Pirki as people that are expected to provide intimacy every day, or every evening with their wives? Man dechsiv behu, those concerning whom the Pasuk says, Shav lochem mashkimei kum, nachrei sheves ochelechem atzabim, ken yitain li dido shena. We just read a Pasuk, and we're going to come back to further explanation of the Pasuk, but let's just read a little more Gemara. V'yomer Rav Yitzchok, eilu nishosem shel talmidei chachamim. This Pasuk is referring to the wives of the Torah students, Torah scholars, shemenadedois shino me'inei abolam hazeh, that push off sleep from their eyes in this world. They're waiting up at night for their husbands to return, and as in that merit, ubois l'chayolam haba, in that merit, the wives receive a portion in the world to come. So now, what are we saying? We're saying that these Torah scholars they're not at home at the time people are ordinarily sleeping. V'ad amriz b'nei pirki, and you say that those very people are expected to provide intimacy to their wives every night, but they're not home at those hours. And we can see this in the Rashi. Minadadois shino mamtinois es baleim shehein beveis rabam v'shoinim pirkom. Almu b'shas shina, we see from here at the time of sleeping, oydim b'beis rabban, they're still in the houses of their rabbis and their yeshivas. The adam is yeshlem p'nai lo'inu b'chol layla. You, Rava, say that the b'nei pirki, and you're describing them as the tayolin as having time for intimacy every night. Elo Omar Abaye. Kidderav. Abai says that if you want to appreciate who the Tayolin are, so we'll see that when we learn Rav. But before we continue with Abai's answer, there's a Rashi here that is of very great significance, insofar as that Rashi simply explains this Pasuk from Tehillim. So let's take a look at the Rashi and try to absorb the message that he's making, that he's stating. Rashi says, Shav lochem mashkimei kum achrei sheves. The Meleches Horishus, people who Mashkime Kum means they wake up early, and Ma'achrei Sheves would appear that they delay their return home. They wake up early, running to work early in the morning, coming back home late at night, for Meleches Horishus, for simple personal income, for work that's optional, for your own good, as opposed to Torah study, which we wouldn't call Meleches Rishus, we'd call that mitzvah. So that the Rashi goes on, Oichle Lachmon Be'etzev. they have a parnosa, they have income, and they eat bread, meaning they receive their sustenance through their work, but it's passive through a lot of toil, trials and tribulations. Kein yiten HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyedido shena. The same that you get through your hard work, your toil, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give the same. After all, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Almighty, is the one who is ultimately responsible for a person's income. He will give the same to those that push off sleep. To those that push off sleep for the Lord's honor, for the Almighty's honor and fulfillment of His mitzvos. So that, the, according to the way Rashi is interpreting, translating this and interpreting this pasuk, people who have to, they look forward to how to spend their lives. And part of a person's life is to sustain himself. And how does one sustain himself? So the common wisdom is to have a job and work at the job, and through that income you end up saving, sustaining yourself. And there is plenty of praise throughout the Chazal for that lifestyle of one who earns a proper living. At the same time, one should be aware that the Almighty has no less regard for someone who dedicates his life, who invests all of his waking hours to the study and pursuit of Torah. And that when it comes to the issue of income and sustenance, the Almighty will sustain them, those that cast off sleep, just like the toiling workers do for their jobs. Likewise, for the Torah scholars that push off sleep and toil at their Torah study. This topic is a topic that is filled, we'll say, with a great deal of discussion about it, and I dare say there's a certain level of controversy that surrounds it, but the term controversy might be associated with the fact there's a great deal of ignorance that's associated with this topic as well. So there are significant sources that people cite, especially when they make reference to the opinion of the Rambam. Some cite Hilchas Talmud Torah Perek Gimel Halacha Yud, and those people don't cite the same author, the Rambam, at the end of Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel. Two primary sources that one should be aware of on this particular topic when citing the Rambam, but there are many other sources on it that go way beyond what we just mentioned. Nevertheless, take special note of the Rashi, how the Almighty values those that invest their waking hours to the study of Torah. Let's continue now in the Gemara. We said that Tayolin must provide relations, marital relations, every day. Who is referred to by that? So Abai is cited like that which Rav says. Yoma Rav, concerning this matter, said, Kegon Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was a well-known figure found throughout the Talmud. He was an educator, an elementary school, an elementary school teacher, who taught children their early childhood Torah studies. The Ochel Mididei, V'Shosim Mididei, he was self-supporting. He ate from his own income and drank, provided food and drink from his own income. The Goni Betula Depadne, and he slept in the shade of his house. In other words, he had a home. The Locholif Pristika the Malka Above, and the king's emissaries did not focus their attention on his home. They passed by, not seeking him out for king's services, because in their eyes he wasn't a man of wealth that would contribute too much to the king's coffers. He was, but an interesting sub message over here about how one should lead an inconspicuous type life, and thereby avoid governmental attention. He also, Ravin, and now, so before we go on, let's just point out that if you want to know who Tayolin are, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was an example of that, someone who he had a job, he gained an income from the job, and it was a Torah-based job, as we added, it was a Malamed Tinoikis, as Rashi said, and he was home every night, but no indication of his lifestyles being like those of the B'nai Pirkei that Rava made mention of. Ki also Ravin Omar, Kagon Mefanki Demarava. Ravin explained that Tayolin are Mefanki Demarava, or that they're an example of that, and Rashi says, B'nai Eretz Yisrael, Me'unogim, B'maychol U'mishte, the people of the land of Israel, when the Gemara makes special reference to B'nai Eretz Yisrael, that's in contrast to the B'nai Bovel. The time of the Babylonian exiles, you had a community that was in Eretz Israel as well as the community that was in Bavel. So the Ravin makes reference to the Jewish community in Eretz Israel at that time. They were they seemed to enjoy a certain level of affluence. They had plenty of food and drink. And Lochein, Rashi's Lochein, Briim, Ubalei Koch, therefore are healthy. Virile men full of male strength, litashmish, and hence able to provide the intimacy every night. The structural note that accompanies the next piece of Gemara, where we see a crown shape featured, the crown indicates two maisim shemarim koichem shalom aroyim elu, two stories that feature the physical strength that these Amoroim had, Rabbi Avol and later Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avol havekoy beboni. Rabbi Avol was once in a bathhouse. By way of background, the bathhouse was built in such a way that you would walk into a room whose floor was made of planks, and underneath the planks there was a fire and very likely a cauldron that was heating up water that would provide the environment that people seek out when entering a bathhouse. So, but the imagery is important that you have a floor under which there's a cauldron, fire that burns and heats up, as we say, the heats up water. So Havu Samchi Le Trei Avdi, our Revo was supported by two servants. So that as Rabbi Avol walked, he seemed to walk with difficulty, may have given the impression of being a weak individual, needed to be supported by two slaves. If Hispe Boni Mitusei, one day the floor caved in, and Isrami Le Amuda, there just happened to be a pole, a pillar that was there, pillar that apparently supported the ceiling of the bathhouse running down into the foundation. Solik v'askinu, Rabbi Avo grabbed the pole with one arm, and with his other arm he grabbed these two servants that were supporting him, and he thereby saved himself and them from disaster. Rabbi Yochanan, Havikosolik Bedarga, on some occasion, Rabbi Yochanan was climbing a ladder, Havu Samchile, Rabami, Rabasi. In climbing the ladder, or Darga can also refer to a flight of stairs, he was being supported by Rabami and Rabasi. If Chisa Darga to say, and the ladder or the stairs caved in, Solik V'askinu, Rabbi Yochanan grabbed them, Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi, and grabbed on to whatever else there was to grab onto and saved them. Amri Le Rabbonan. So the Rabbonan asked Rabbi Yochanan B'chimi Achad Dohachi, after we see this great manifestation of great physical strength, Loma Le Lemismeche, why do you need to be supported? Amar Lehus, Rabbi Yochanan answered, Im Cain, if I have to exert myself now, in other words, without your support, Ma'aniach Le'zikna, what will I leave By way of strength, what will I leave over for my old age? So instead of exhausting all my strength now, I save it up and through your supporting me. So when I get old, I'll be able to continue functioning on my own. In other words, with a sufficient strength. It could very well be that there's some very deep, there's a hidden message over here. But in our Gemara markings, here we attempt to convey the simple reading and leave the more analytical approach for each one to pursue on his own. Va'poilim shtayim b'shabbos. Mention was made in the Mishnah that po'alim, generally translated as workers, they provide their marital relations. Shtayim b'shabbos means twice a week. The Gemara asked, v'hot tanyo ha'poilim achas b'shabbos, but have we not learned that po'alim provide relations once a week? Amar of Yosi Rav Chanina lo kasha. There's no contradiction. Kan ba'oisin malocha b'iran, kan ba'oisin malocha b'ir acheres. When you have workers that work in their own town, so they travel less, and it's enough, and they therefore have the ability to provide relations twice a week. However, when you have workers that travel to another community, there, it's all that's expected of them is to provide relations once a week. Tanya Nami Hochi, and a Tanaic source that supports this, Apolim Shtayim B'Shabbos, that Paulim are providing conjugal relations twice a week, B'Med V'Murim, under what circumstances? B'Oisim Melocha B'Iran, those who work in their own towns. Aval B'Oisim Melocha B'Iran Acheres, those who work in another community other than where they live, Achas B'Shabbos, then only once a week are they expected to provide relations for their wives. Hachamorim, achas b'shabbos. Donkey drivers, they're expected to provide relations once a week. The Gemara asks, Omar le rabo bar Rav Chonon l'Abaye. Ichbal tana lashmir etayel upoyol. Our Mishnah, according to Beis Hillel at the beginning of the Mishnah, one who forswears receiving benefit through intimacy from his wife, Beis Hillel said that if he says that I will not provide relations for 1 week, so then Yoytzi v'niten ksuba, the marriage is disbanded and he must compensate her with her ksuba. So Rav Chonon asks Abai, Ichbal Tana Lashmina Tayel Upol, does the Tana in referring to Beis Hillel when he says that you have to disband the marriage when a man vows in effect not to engage in marital relations for 1 week, when the only ones that would be affected by that, namely a vow that would last a week, the only ones that would be affected by that is a Tayel Upol. There's so many different examples of time frames during which marital relations are to be provided, but they extend more than a week. The only ones that would be affected by such a vow be these two isolated examples, the tayel and the poyel. If we take a look at Rashi on the lines under the Gemara text, Ichbal tana lashmina tayel upol, tana de sosam liel, the tana that said in an unqualified fashion, amadir zishta b'sil omrim shabbos achas. A person who vows, the vow that would result in the woman being deprived from relations, well, if he vows for that deprivation to last 1 week, ein loy marzos lo besapon v'lo begamo v'lo bechamor v'lo betamidi chachamim, that vow wouldn't have any effect at first glance on the seafarers. They're not to expect to provide relations anyway for 6 months, up till 6 months. And likewise the others, the gamol, and if you simply glance at the mission, you can see the gamolim once every 30 days. The chamor, they were once a week. And tamidi chachamim, likewise, we saw if they get permission, even if they don't get permission, they can be away for 30 days. So a vow that would deprive a woman of what she would otherwise expect. In which case would she otherwise expect relations at a greater frequency than every week? That applies only to, as Rashi just pointed out, Mara pointed out, to the Tayolim. Those are people expected to provide relations every day. So a vow of this nature of 1 week would cause her a loss. Or the Poyol, which the Mishnah says, and the Gemara explained, if he works in town, he provides relations twice a week. So only those cases would be affected by such a vow. And yet the Mishnah teaches it as if it applies to everybody across the board, because the Mishnah didn't teach it in a qualified fashion. It just said, Hamadir es Ishto, and Beis Hillel said, Shabbos Acha means a 1 week. So now we turn our attention back to the Gemara. Omar le loy. Abaye says to Rabbo bar Rav Chanan, no, it's not as if the Mishnah taught a halacha that would apply or be limited to the tile and the poil. Rather, and we continue at the top of the Gemara on Amud Beis, Akulhu. This Mishnah, the Madir es Ishto, Shabbos Achas, 1 week, Yotziv Ging Suba, applies to all of them. The Gemara asks, V'ashisha Chadoshim Komar, but with regard to, for example, the seafarers, they have to provide relations only once every 6 months. So how can a vow like the Mishnah features, that he won't provide relations for 1 week, how can that be a setback to the wife of the Saponim, and likewise the others that we just made reference to that are in the Mishnah? The Gemara answers that it's all a matter of psychology. Eino doima mishi yesh lo pas besalo lemisha ein lo pas besalo. First, the literal translation is, you can't compare someone who's got bread in his basket to someone that doesn't have bread in his basket. What is that? How does that have reference to us? So we look at Rashi on the second line from the top. Eino doima linyan tainis, regarding someone who's fasting. Mishi yesh lo b'chulei, someone who has bread, he knows he's going to have bread, versus someone that doesn't know. Afkan below neder, daita noicha lebaila, shema yovel besoch hazman. If there's no vow that's taken, a woman that's married to, let's say, a seafarer, she is aware that she's going to see her husband basically once every half year. But in the back of her mind, he might come home any day. And at any given moment, he is available to her. And that's a good feeling that she has. Avozu mishidira, but this woman that's the subject of the vow, Hari Kamisha Eino Mitzap Labal, she is like a person that knows that her husband will not be with her. In other words, no way he's going to be with her for the next 7 days because of that vow. So that psychological element makes all of the difference. Look how far-reaching that is, that a woman can be in a position where she understands her husband's a seafarer. She'll see him twice a year. That's okay. But if the husband is blocked off from the woman, even for as short a time as a week, according to Beis Hillel, that's a disaster. Let's continue in the Gemara on the third line from the top. Omar le rabo ba Rav Chanan la Abaye. Chamor v'nase gamol mai. Let's say a woman marries a chamor. Chamor provides relations, the Mishnah says, once a week. And he's then offered a job to be a gamol. And when you look at the list of times, you notice that the gamol, he'll provide, or he's expected to provide relations achas l'shloshim, almost every 30 days. So that you see, an intimacy deprivation by this change of occupation. As a chamor, she would be with her husband once a week. As a gamol, once a month. Is the question here that Rabbo is presenting to Abai, is it mutter for him to change professions without her expressed permission? Another point we must point out is that the gamo profession is more lucrative than the chamor profession. So Abaye answers, Amale, Roitza Isha Bekav, Vetiflus, May Asora Kavin Uprishus. Again, here's a statement of psychology that applies to most women, and that is a woman would prefer less income. A kav is a measure. It represents a certain level of income, and the kav is contrasted with the asora kav, the 10 kav. So the Gemara is describing that a woman would be happy with a significantly less amount by way of income, as long as her tiflus is a reference to her husband being present. Without attempting to translate the word tiflus literally, the point is her husband is with her. A woman would much prefer having less income as long as her husband is with her than having a much greater income, and precious means separation from her husband. In other words, that her husband is not readily available to her. So that the question, can a man make that change without getting her permission, would have been based on the question, is income more important to her? And therefore, yes, he could make the change without her permission, or is the intimacy more important to her? And this change would result in a decrease in the ona, in the intimacy provided. Therefore, he should seek out her permission if he should want to make that change. Now Tosfos points out something that's very important. We look at the Tosfos at the top. Roitza isha b'kav v'tiflus. Tema, a major question is raised. Amrin Leah, we said before, we said back on Amud Aleph, Shaini hosn dislu harvocha. We saw a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan as to what the source of the idea of 1 month. Actually, let me correct the names. No, we were correct with the names. We have Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan on Samach Beis Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Yochanan did not want to learn like Rav, because Rav featured a source that was referred to alternating months, and there Rabbi Yochanan argued the woman would agree to that level of frequent absence of her husband, because there was a great amount of income to be gained, and that was a fair trade-off to his presence with her. Here we're saying that a woman isn't so quick to trade off her husband's presence for increased income. That is the question that Tosfos is raising. So Tosfos answers on the second line from the top, Vishemo avodas hamelech ikur revocha tvei. It could be that the level of income of serving the king's workforce was so significantly greater than, let's say, the upgrading from chamor to a gamol, that under those circumstances, when the income was so many times greater, there the woman would be willing, she would acquiesce to her husband's lengthy absences. Let's continue now in our Gemara. Hasaponim achas l'shisha chadoshim divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Seafarer, as the Mishnah said, can be away, legitimately be away for 6 months. In other words, the expectation is for them to provide relations once every 6 months. Omar Rav Bruno, Omar Rav, halocha k'Rabbi Eliezer. So we, according to Rav Bruno, we would follow that which we saw in the Mishnah, all the different times that were set out. Omar of Ado Barava, Omar Rav. Now you have a different take on how to paskin. Rav Bruna presented Rav as holding like Rebbe Lozer in the Mishnah. Rav Ada says, quoting Rav Zu, Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. The Mishnah, which set out the different times, is the words of Reb Elazar. It's Reb Elazar's opinion. Avol chachomim omrim atalmidim yotzin l'talmud Torah shnayim shlosh shonim shelo birshus. The chachomim hold, in opposition to Reb Elazar, that talmidei chachomim, people who are seeking Torah study, can leave for Torah study 2 and 3 years without their wives' express permission. Reb Elazar did not say anything of that sort. This idea, then, as far as Rav Ada Ba'av was concerned, is what the Chachomim hold according to Rav. Omar Rava. Samchu Rabbonon ad Rav Ada Ba'ava. The Torah students of our generation relied on Rav Ada's presentation, the Avdi Uvda Benafshayu, and they were in effect risking their own lives, they're risking their own welfare in doing so. Rashi says Benafshayu, the Avdi Uvda Kavosei, they practiced Rav Ada's approach, and Benafshayu, Vahu Bolohem Lito Mehem Nefoshus Shinanoshimu Mesim, and by doing so, they're risking their lives. They can even die. We take a look at the Tosfos Rid. You can find him on the right hand side of the Gemara. We've underlined the relevant section in the Tosfos Rid commentary. V'avdi uvda benafshayu lemeimra delo shori lemevid hochi. This comment of Rava is v'avdi uvda benafshayu is telling us, it's suggesting that they weren't allowed to do that, and now an illustration of how dangerous this practice would be. Namely, if you're a Talmud Chacham and you're planning to absent yourself, to leave your house, more than the times that we saw in the Mishnah, we saw in the Mishnah the Talmidim Yotzei Talmud Torah Shelo Birshus Shloshim Yom, and that section of the Mishnah concluded with Rebbe Eliezer's name. So we see that without permission, they can be away for up to 30 days. What we just saw here, 2-3 years, well, Rava says that's dangerous. And the Gemara continues, Kiha de Rav Rechumi. You'll note that we have a diamond on the side. We have a nose, mivne, a topic heading combined with a structural note. Maisim she'inyonam kosher lemitzvos oinu v'talmud Torah. We're going to see stories. And this introductory note is a very broad note, in that all the stories, what they have in common, has to do with relations between man and wife, and their departure for the purpose of Torah study. We have quite a few stories, and the diamond structure marking continues till Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, halfway down the Omid. So the first story involves Rav Rechumi, Havishchiach Kamei de Rava b'Mechuza. It maybe it's worth noting that Rava's name, he was the one that appeared 2 lines above. And here you see Rav Rechumi used to learn by Rava in Mechuza. Havarogil de'avi'osi le'beisei komali yoma de'gipuri. He was accustomed to returning home every Erev Yom Kippur. That means once a year, Erev Yom Kippur, he would show up at home. When he left his home, that's not clear from the Gemara. We can it could be that he left his home. He left his home after Yom Kippur, after Sukkot, but he was home basically once a year. Yom Achad Meshachtei Shmaitza. One day was an Erev Yom Kippur, and he, Rav Rechumi, was drawn into his learning. That means that it was getting later and later, and the time for him to get home was becoming less and less. Have a masche devisu. His wife, mas mesachia, has to do with looking. She was waiting. She was waiting and feeling or saying, hashtosi, hashtosi, he's going to come. Now he's coming. Now he's coming. Lo osa. But he didn't. Cholish daita. She had a terrible feeling, you know. She felt bad. Ochis dimasameina, and she a tear dropped forth from her eye. Hava Yosef Vigra, he, Rav Ruchumi, at that time, when he was engaged in his Torah thoughts, he was sitting on a roof. Afchis Igra Mitusei, the roof caved in, Venoch Nafshei, and he died. Hence, from this story, you can see how it's dangerous to stay away from one's wife without her expressed approval for that extended type period of time. The actual act of intimacy between husband and wife, when he happens to be a Torah scholar, when is that? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Me'erev Shabbos, Lerev Shabbos. Friday nights. If we look at Rashi, Me'erev Shabbos, Shuhu Rug, Hu Leil Tanug, Ushvisa Vahanoa Saguf. Very, very interesting description that Friday night is described as a time of enjoyment, of pleasure. Shvisa means no work. It's Shabbos and a time of physical pleasure. Hanos HaGuf, the body, bodily pleasure. The Pasuk says, Asher Pirio Yitei Beito, its fruit comes forth at its time. Oma Rav Yuda, Vitema Rav Huna, Vitema Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, and there are other versions of who, says the following, Zeh HaMishamish Mitosam Erev Shabbos Lerev Shabbos. This Pasuk is a reference to someone that has relations on time, meaning every Erev Shabbos. Yehuda Breder Rav Chiya Chasnei de Rav Yanai Have. Yehuda, the son of Rav Chiya, was the son-in-law of Rav Yanai. Ozil v'Yosef b'Bei Rav. Yehuda went to the yeshiva to study in a yeshiva. V'chol Beis Shimshi, and every Friday, Beis Shimshi is a reference to Friday, he would arrive home. So he was away for the week, coming home on Fridays. And when Yehuda Breder of Chiya would come home, a pillar of fire would appear ahead of him. One day he was drawn by his learning. He tarried, he was delayed at the yeshiva. Kevan de lo chozi ahu simona, and as a result, so he wasn't on his way home that Friday, so that simon, that sign, was not seen. And upon the absence of noticing the absence of that sign, Omerlu Rabbianai, so the father-in-law says, Kafu mitaso, flip over his bed. And the idea of an inverted bed is the sign of is a sign that's associated with mourning, mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Avelus. Shil mole Yehuda Kayim, Rav Yanai says, if he was still alive, lo bitel oinoso, he wouldn't have canceled, he wouldn't have been absent from providing intimacy to his wife. In other words, Rav Yanai describes his son-in-law as being very diligent in let's say, pleasing his wife. So that's what Rav Yanai said, that if he was surmising that if he was still alive, he certainly would have been come. He would have been home by now. It was late Friday afternoon. He certainly would have been home, but we didn't see the pillar of fire. So it's like he was saying, it seems that he's not alive anymore. Not that he knew something with certainty, but that's what he said. It was an unintended remark that came forth. That's the intention of quoting this particular pasuk, that an unintended remark came forth from Rav Yanai, but it came to be v'noch nafshei, and in fact, his son-in-law Yehuda Breder Rav Chiya died. Rabbi Yisak lay lebrei be Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi was marrying off his son to a girl from the house of Rabbi Chiya. Interesting, we just mentioned a son of Rabbi Chiya. Here now we're now mentioning a daughter of Rabbi Chiya. So that Rabbi was involved with arranging for the marriage of his son to the daughter of Rabbi Chiya. Kimoto le michtav ksuba, when the time came for writing the ksuba, noch nafshei de revisa, the girl died. Omar Rabbi, upon noticing this tragedy, he said, Chas v'sholem psulika, heaven forbid, could there be some element invalidness of this marriage, and so that it's so invalid, that it's so wrong, that the Almighty had to intervene by taking away the girl, by causing her death. Yosivu v'ainu b'mishpachos. So they sat there and they looked into the families. Rebbe looked into his family's genealogy, and likewise Reb Chiya. And they discovered the following. Rebbe osi mishvatya ben Avital. Rebbe is a descendant from Shvatya, who was the son of Avital. And now Avital, we'll say Shvatya was one of the sons of King David. And Avital was the name of the wife of King David. So that, and Rebbe was a descendant from this particular son, so he could in fact trace his ancestry back to King David. Reb Chiya also mishimi achi David. Reb Chiya was a descendant from David's brother. Reb Chiya, though, and that's naturally his daughter, was not a direct son of the king. He was a descendant of the king's brother. And when it comes to matters of this nature, one has to be careful whom he marries. So that if one is a descendant of the, say, Davidic lineage, he has to marry someone of similar lineage. Ozil Yasik Le Librei Bei Reb Yossi Ben Zimra. So Rebbe then went to have his son marry the daughter of Reb Yossi Ben Zimra. Posku Le Tarti Sori Shonen Lemezal Bebei Rav. Before they would consummate their marriage, there was an agreement that the son of Rebbe would be absent for 12 years. 12 years before Knisa, before Rashi says Kodim Shichla, says before the Knisa Lechupa, before the consummation of the marriage. Achlefua Kamei, and they passed the girl in front of the girl, the bride, in front of the groom. Amar lahu nevu shis shanin. So it seems that the groom said, you know what, instead of my being away 12 years, let me be away 6 years. He was he felt attracted to her and didn't want to be away so long. Achlefua kamei, and again she was passed in front of him. So the son of Rebbe, the groom, says, Ichnis vader izol. You know what? Let me be with her in intimacy. Let's consummate the marriage, and then I'll go off to the yeshiva. Havakah michsif me'avu. And he felt a sense of embarrassment from his father. His father had arranged for him his marriage, and the understanding was that the groom would be away for 12 years before consummating the marriage. So he felt a sense of maybe letting his father down, and a sense of embarrassment from his father. Amar Le Rebbe reacted. He said, Beni, my son, das koincha yesh boch. The thinking of your creator, the thinking of God, is something that you have within you. And the Gemara explains. Before we read the Gemara, there's Rashi says, Das kain chayesh bocha, she'omar laharchig zman chuposu v'chozu v'kirva me'roi v'chibas chakaloso. The Almighty himself thought initially to create a distance between the initial marriage, the first stage of marriage, and the consummation, and then he appears to have a change of mind because of his great desire for the bride. And you'll see this is the way of the Almighty himself. Where do we see that? Meikorak siv tivi'emoi v'sito'emo. This pasuk is from the Oz Yoshir, from the Shira Sayam. Tivi'emo means I will bring the people into the land, and v'sito'emo, and then plant them there which is a reference to, I'll first bring them into the land of Israel, and then build a holy temple. But when it comes to the actualizing of things, it says, V'osu li mikdash v'shochanti b'zocham. And a holy place will be made, and I will dwell in their midst. This was already in the midbar, in the wilderness, before they entered the land. And this idea of a mikdash, of a sanctuary, a holy sanctuary, is an expression of true intimacy between the Almighty and His people. That's the equivalent of the knisa l'chuppah that we referred to before. So that originally there was a plan, as Rashi said, to keep to have a large gap in time between the initial marriage of the Almighty to the Jewish people, which we can say was what took place at Mount Sinai with the receiving of the Torah. That would be the Erusin. And then the Nisuin is the establishment of a holy sanctuary. But originally the Almighty intended for that consummation of marriage to take place much longer, and when it came to the actual building of the Mishkan, that in fact came was made much earlier than originally intended. So that Rebbe was consoling his son, you don't have to feel embarrassed, your behavior is in line with the thinking of the Almighty himself. Ozil Yosef Tarti Sori Shoni Bebe Rav. Well, then his Rebbe's son went off to the yeshiva for 12 years. Ad Osa Yakra Divisuin. By the time he came back, his wife became barren. Omar Rebbe. Rebbe saw this. He says, Hey Chinavid, what am I going to do? What am I to do? Nigrishah, for his son to divorce her. Yomru, people react. Aniyazula Shav Shimra. The poor woman, she waited for nothing. Now, there is a concept or a phenomenon of a woman who she might have been a healthy woman, a productive woman, capable of procreation, but in being without her husband for a period of 10 years, this can lead to barrenness. So this is apparently what happened, and was all for the sake of his going off to learn Torah. So Rebbe says if he divorces her because he has to have children, people will say this poor woman waited for nothing. Ninsevitza achriti, to suggest that his son should marry a second woman, another wife through whom he would have children. Yomru, people say zu ishto v'zu zunaso. The woman that provides children, that's his wife, and the other one is his harlot. There's more to say on this particular topic, but you can look into the Yavetz commentary from this particular expression. The Gemara, one would get the feeling that that having two wives is something that's viewed by the Gemara as negative. The Yavetz addresses that issue because we find other places where there were multiple wives and it wasn't viewed negatively. But nevertheless, under these circumstances, that's the impression would be created, that here he goes off to marry, he keeps this original woman, but he marries another one through whom to have children, and keeping her as if it's just for intimacy purposes alone. It's like a harlot. And that's not nice. So, boy, Allah rachmi v'tzias. Rebbe prayed, and she became productive. The barrenness left. Rebbe Chananya ben Chachinoy, avikozu lebe rav, b'shili ilule de Rebbe Shimon ben Yochoi. Rebbe Chananya was intent on going back to the yeshiva at the end of the week of festivities that accompanied the marriage of Reb Shimon ben Yochai to his wife. So Reb Chanani just for at least illustrating story purposes, Reb Chanani was a good friend of Reb Shimon ben Yochai. He spent most of the wedding week with Reb Shimon ben Yochai, the groom. But as the week drew to an end, he wanted to go back off to yeshiva. Omar Le, Rav Shlomo Baruch Yochai said, Yaakov Li, wait for me, Adasi Badoch, until I can come with you. The first week he's to be with the bride, and after that, he wanted, Rav Shlomo Baruch Yochai wanted to go back to the yeshiva with Rabbi Chananya. Lo, Yaakov Le, and Rav Chananya didn't wait for him. Ozal Yosef Trey Sori Shoni Bebe Rav. This double underlining, you'll see, highlights a repeat time frame, and we saw this earlier. I didn't mention it earlier, but on the Mivneh, the heading on the side of the Gemara is Havlota Shirzman Shel Yud Bei Shona Bebe Rav. We're highlighting this number of years. It's a repeat number. And the Marsha has a comment on this particular number. It's why it's specifically 12 years. But for those who are interested, look into the Marsha commentary. So Chanani went and spent 12 years in the Beirav, in the yeshiva. Ad Osi, by the time he came back home, Ishtanu Shvili Demasa. Faloya de la Meza Lebese. There was apparently so much construction in his community that buildings were built on what originally were pathways, and he didn't know how to get home. Ozal Yosef Aguda Denari sat by the banks of a river. Shamale Ivisa, he heard regarding a particular girl, Tahavu Korula. They were calling out to this Revisa, to this girl, Bas Hachinoi, Bas Hachinoi, Moli Kusach, Vito Nezel. They were referring to her as the daughter of Hachinoi. Fill your Kusach, fill your vessel, and go, and let's go. In other words, let's go home. Well, Rabbi Chananya heard a reference to his family, Omar Shmamino, Hai Revisa Didon. He said that this young girl is from my family. This was Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinoi. They were referring to her as Bas Chachinoi, so it sounds like it's a like even a sister of his. Ozal Basra, he followed her home. Hava Yasiva Devisu Konialo Kimcha. Rabbi Chananya's wife was seated and sifting flour. Dolena, she lifted her eyes, Chazise, and she saw her husband, Sovi Liba. Rashi says, Sovi Liba, Rua Liba, Klomar, Nidme Liba, Pisom, Shezeb Bailo. It occurred to her suddenly that, lo and behold, her husband was standing there. Apparently she wasn't expecting him, certainly not at that particular moment. Porach Rucha, out of this, she was overcome with emotion, she passed out. She died. Omar Lefonov, so her husband Rav Chananya says, Ribbono Shel Ania Zu, Zu Zeshora, this poor woman, this is her reward. Bo Rachmi Allah V'choya, he prayed, and through his prayers she came back to life. We saw just before the through prayers the barrenness was solved. Here, through prayers, resurrection was achieved. Rabbi Chamo Bar Bisa, Ozil Yosef Trey Sori Shoni Bebe Midrasha. Rabbi Chama, the son of Rabbi Bisa, spent 12 years in the yeshiva studying Torah. Kiyosa, when he came back to his home, Omar lo evid kideovid ben Chachinoi. I am not going to do the same as he did. When Rabbi Chananya ben Chananya came home, it was sudden, his wife was unaware, and she, out of emotional strain, she passed out and died. I'm not going to do the same. Ayel Yosef ben Midrash, he came to his community and he parked himself in a shul or in a base medrash, place where people study Torah. Sholach lebeis, he sent a message that he's in the community, that they should expect him, so that his wife is now clued into his presence there. Also, Rabbi Shaya Bray, the son of Rabbi Chama, came to the Beis Medrash. It's important to point out that Rabbi Chama has been away for 12 years. He didn't recognize his own son. Apparently, when he left, he was a child, and now he's a young adult. Yosef Kamei Havikomashu Leishmaitza. Rabbi Shaya sat down and asked this man, who in fact was his father, was asking him or talking to him, discussing Torah topics. The father noticed that this young man is very sharp in his Torah knowledge. Cholash Daite, Rabbi Chama was overcome with a feeling of remorse. Omar, he said, if I would have remained home, Havali Zeraki, I would have had a son like this one. Ol Lebese, Rabbi Chama went home, went to his house. Ol Bray, Rabbi Shaya also went into the house. Kom Kamei, the father, Rabbi Chama, stood up. He saw this young man entering. He stood up. Who Savar LeMishalei Shmaitza Kaboy, Rabbi Chama stood up because he thought that the young man is coming in to ask him a question in Torah study. And apparently the practice was that if you see someone coming to talk to you in Torah study, you stand up. Omra Le Devisu, Rabbi Chama's wife says to her husband, Miko Abba de Koy Mekami Bra, since when do you see a father standing up for his son? And then, of course, Rabbi Chama became all too aware that his feelings of remorse that he expressed earlier probably were out of place, and it could very well be in the merit of his extreme sacrifice for Torah study that his son turned out to be the sharp Torah scholar that he was, even without the father's input. Kori Ole, Rami Bar Chama, referring to this family, Rami Bar Chama said, Hachut HaMeshulash Lo B'meira Yinotek, the three-stranded rope will not quickly break. In other words, a rope or a string that's made of three strands that are woven together, or they're twined together, is a strong rope. It doesn't break easily. What is that a reference to? Zeh Rabbi Shaya Beno Rabbi Chama Bar Bisa. There are actually three generations of Torah scholarship that we see over here, and we learn that when you have a family that's zoiche to have a series of three generations of Torah study, the Torah itself seeks out that family to remain within its midst. In fact, this is something that throughout the Jewish history you find certain well-known Torah families where their generation after generation there is Torah scholarship. We see Tosis, by the way, he makes a reference here. Achudam Shlosh Meimer Lo B'Meri Notek V'Sheshloshta Ro Zeh Zeh K'Namrin Ba'Almo. Actually, each one saw the other. Shomer Rabbi Shaya Dover V'Yosu V'Shalu L'Rabbi Bisa. The grandson had asked something, had raised a question that was presented to the grandfather. L'Kach Kori Olayu Achudam Shlosh Lo B'Meri Notek. It won't be detached from their descendants forever. Once a man, his son, and his grandson are attached to Torah study, from that point onwards, the Torah itself seeks out its host, the family that hosted it. V'dorish mi v'ani zois brisi, and the pasuk there goes on to say, lo yomushu mi picho mi pi zaracha mi pi zera zaracha ad olam, where the Torah will not depart from such a family. Let us turn back to the Gemara. We pick up with the next diamond, the next story. Here you see Rabbi Akiva's name is highlighted. Rabbi Akiva, Raya de ben Kalba Savua Have. Rabbi Akiva was in his early days a shepherd of a very prominent Jew, whose name was Kalba Savua. Chazisei Barte Dahavet Sanio Mali. Kalba Savua had a daughter that noticed, Chazit says she saw, she noticed, that he, Rabbi Akiva, was a man of modesty and of positive character. Omra Lay, the daughter of Kaba Savua, you just have to imagine who she was. She was the daughter of one of the wealthiest men of that particular generation, a very prominent young lady. And she says to this shepherd boy, Rabbi Akiva, she says, if I would agree to marry you, in other words, I would, if you were to propose marriage to me, I would agree to marry you. Aslus Lebeirav, if I would agree to marry, would you go off to a Torah center and study? Omar Law in, yes, I would do that. Iktishah Le Betzino Vishadruse, she entered a marital relationship with him in private. Her father would have nothing to do with such a marriage, and his daughter should marry a shepherd boy. So the marriage took place in private, Vishadruse, and she sent him off. Shomavua, the father, Kabo Savua, got wind of this. He heard about this. Afka Mibese, he threw his daughter out of his house, Adra no Minichse, and he made a vow that she shall have no benefit from his property. Ozu Yosef Treisori Shonin Bebe Rav. And again, the double underline, you see again this 12-year figure. He sat for 12 years in a yeshiva. He also, Aisi Bahade Treisori Alfi Tamidi. On his return, he brought with him 12,000 students. Shame Lahusaba de Ka'omar Law. Rabbi Akiva heard some elderly man that was saying to his Rabbi Akiva's wife, Ad Kamo, and we continue at the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Kamadris Almanus Chayim. How long are you can conduct yourself as a living widow? Now, of course, every widow is alive, but it means she's experiencing widowhood while her husband is still alive. In other words, she's living a life as if she's a widow. That's Amanus Chayim. Omrole, she said to the Hahu Saba, to that old man, Iladidit Sayas, if he would listen to me, Yosef Treisori Shoni Achrini would sit another 12 years away from home. Omar, Rabbi Akiva, as we said, he got wind of this. He heard about this conversation. He said, Birshusko Avidna, if I were to now go another 12 years, I would be doing so with her rishus, with her approval. Hodar Ozil, V'yosef Treisori Shoni Achrini Bebeirav. Well, he then sat another 12 years in the yeshiva. And it's fairly obvious from the Gemara here that he didn't say hello to her in the interim. He simply heard about her expression of approval and took advantage of that and went away for another 12 years. So it would have a continuum of 24 years of his being in yeshiva. He also, Aisi Bahadei Esrin Va'arbo Alfi Tamidei, when he came back with 24,000 students. Shom'a Devisu, his wife heard about his return home. Havis Konaf Gilape, she went out to greet him. Omru Lo Shivavosa, her neighbors told her, She'ili Moni, you ought to borrow clothing. Levush Vichsoi, and clothe yourself, cover yourself with appropriate clothing. Apparently, she had been disowned by her father. Whatever income she had was probably some type of meager income, and she was living in rags. So she said to the neighbor said that Rabbi Akiva, a very great man at this time, 24,000 students is coming. You're dressed inappropriately. Omra Lahu, she told her neighbors, Yodea Tzadik Nefesh Behemto. Translated is the righteous one understands the spirit of his animal. Referring to herself, she says, don't worry, he will understand the way I appear, it won't be a source of any tension if I appear the way I am. Kimatya legabe, when she reached where he was, noflo al apo komenashko leilekare. She fell to his feet, and she fell on her face to his feet, and mashka leilekare, she kissed his legs. Have a komed tfi lo shamei. Rabbi Kiva had bodyguards, had servants, and they saw this, a lady in rags kissing their great rabbi's feet. This was an unseemly scenario, so they were pushing her away. Omar lohu, Rabbi Akiva says, shavku, leave her be. Sheli v'shelochem shelohu. That which is mine, and that which is yours, all of our combined Torah scholarship, is hers. It's all as a result of her sacrifice. Shoma avua de osa gava rabba lamasa. Her father, as Kalbasavua, heard that a great man had arrived in town. Of course, not realizing who this was. Omar, so Kalbasavua said, Ezel agabe efshu de mefer nidroi. I'm going to go to this great man. Maybe he can absolve me of the vow that I took disowning my daughter. Also legabe. So Kaba Suvua came to the man, Rabbi Akiva. Amalei, Rabbi Akiva asked him, when you vowed, obviously you were upset that she was marrying a shepherd boy, someone that fell considerably short of your expectations. Adaita de gavra rabo mi nadris. Did you vow thinking that he would be a great man? Omar lei. So Kabbalat Savua said, forget about being a great man. Afilu perek echad, afilu halocha achas. If he had known even one chapter, even one point of law, that would have been enough for me. He didn't even know that. And that's why I had vowed the way I did. Amalei, Sir Bikiva says, Anohu, I am that young man. I am that fellow. I am the one that your daughter had married. Nofal al ape v'nashke al kare. Kaba Savua fell on his face and kissed his legs. V'yohivle palgamamone, and this very wealthy man, Kaba Savua, gave Rabbi Kiva half of his fortune. The Gemara elsewhere points out that Rabbi Kiva himself became a very, very wealthy man from numerous different sources. Barte de Rabbi Kiva ovdo le leben Azai hachi. The daughter of Rabbi Kiva married Ben Azai, and she did the same with him. In other words, she sent him off to yeshiva for many years. V'hainu d'amri inshi, and it's with this that people say, Rechela bosa rechela ozla. Sheep tend to follow sheep. Ke'uvde imo kach uvde barta. As the practices of her mother, so too daughter. Like mother, like daughter. In the context of our Gemara marking shir, we're not going to get into the topics that the Tosfos raises here, but there are some very basic questions that are raised regarding this story. Just to mention the particular question without getting into the entire discussion, Tosfos at the top raises a question about Nidorim being absolved based on information that at the time didn't even exist. This is called Poisfin Benolad, and that's not how Nidorim are to be absolved, and yet it seems that here that was the basis of this Neder being rescinded. Namely, that had you known at the time that he would in the future become a great man, would you have made the Neder? But the time the Neder was made, his greatness was still something that had not come to be. It's called Dover Shelo Boli Olam, or a Nolad, something that hadn't been born yet. So Tosfos deals with that in the first first Tosfos. And then there's another issue that's raised. It's fairly well known, based on a Gemara in Sota, that Ben Azai was never married. And yet in this Gemara, it seems that Ben Azai had been married. So once again, you can look into the Tosfos for how to deal with that. We continue with the next diamond, Rav Yosef Brei Derava, Shadre Avuhi Lebei Rav, Lekame Derav Yosef. Here we have the name Rav Yosef appearing twice. They represent two different people. Rava named his son Rav Yosef, and Rava sent his son off to learn by the great Amora Rav Yosef. Pasku le shis shani. It was established that he would be off at yeshiva for 6 years. And you'll see that this is in the context of his getting married. Ki havetlos shoni motamali yom dekipuri. After 3 years went by, it was Erev Yom Kippur. Omar, Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, said, Ezel v'ichzinu l'inshi beise. I'm going to go home now and see. Inshi beise means my wife. Shoma avui, Rava heard that the son is coming home. Only after only 3 years of being away, when there was an agreement that he would be 6 years away, shokal mona v'nofak lape. He took a mona. Rashi says clay zion. He took some type of implement that looked like a weapon, as if he's coming to war. V'nofak lape and went out to toward his son. Omale. So the father says. He says in a jeering, sarcastic fashion, he says, Zunoscha nizkarta? Literally, you remembered your remembered and you're longing for your harlot. And there's another gifsa, maybe more pleasant to sensitive ears, Zugoscha. You can see that on the side. Your mate, your wife. You remembered your wife and that's why you're coming home. Well, Iko Diamri Omar Le, another version of the story is Yoinoscha Niskarta. You remembered your dove, maybe as the common expression lovey dovey, the dove being portrayed as a creature. It's a bird that is very attached to its mate. And so is that why you're coming home? Itrud, this resulted in tension in an argument between father and son. And it was Erev Yom Kippur. And Erev Yom Kippur is the time that people prepare themselves for the big fast day by a meal called a Suda, Suda HaMafsekes, the meal by which one stops, after which he stops eating in observing Yom Kippur itself. So this is the meal that one eats on Erev Yom Kippur, and on that particular Erev Yom Kippur, lo mor ifsik, the lo mor ifsik. Neither the father, neither Rava nor his son ate that final meal, showing how intense that struggle was between the two of them because of the son's premature reappearance. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.